The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? What is it about us that makes us so arrogant? Who do we think we are that we know more than God? And how does a person come to a point in life to think that he knows more than God? And what does a person do with such knowledge? How does this affect those around them? And how much influence does an ungodly person wield? Mark writes, from within the hearts of men come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, debauchery, envy, slander, arrogance, and foolishness. And Paul writes in Galatians, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Many words are tethered together by the word and, meaning together they are a completion of one description. We can see this tethering in many things, both within the Bible and in life today. Some examples would be Adam and Eve, participants in the fall of mankind, Sodom and Gomorrah, a result of that fall, love and hate. Together they paint a picture of the human condition, war and peace, the result of inner and outer turmoil that consumes us in everyday life. And we are either at war or we know peace. There's no neutral territory. Somewhere, someone strives and plans, contrives ways to accomplish their goals, fulfilling their desires regardless the outcome and or the consequences by their determining war and or creating a false peace. On the plains to the south of the Dead Sea were once located the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboiim, and it would be that all of these were destroyed by God for their wicked ways. You see, the hearts of the people had grown cold towards God. In Genesis 18:20-21, the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me, and if not, I will know. Outcry means a cry of righteous indignation, a lament, a call of distress. The first such a cry coming after Cain killed his brother Abel and his blood cried out from the ground. What reason did Cain have for killing his brother? Anger, jealousy, envy, an array of human emotions. Those that will drive desire into a frenzied passion, and from there all rationale loses footing. And what was right is now wrong, and what is wrong now justified. Sodom's sin in Ezekiel 16. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter were arrogantly overfed and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. And in Jude 7, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. You see, the thing about sin, it never affects just the sinner. It's impossible to limit the damage. With sexual immorality, whether homosexuality, lesbianism, pedophilia, sex outside of the marriage, all of these do not stay with you alone, but rather, they are like dropping a pebble in a pond, and from where it struck the water, a ring of displaced water begins to spread out. And the further from the strike zone it travels, the bigger it gets, and begins to blend in with the rest of the water until it just disappears, and it draws more and more people into its displacement. This is what has happened to mankind over the generations, as each became bolder and more arrogant until today. We now feel we are able to tell God the Creator that what He made is flawed, and that we as men and women of the world, well, we can fix that. No longer do the sexually immoral doings of people get addressed, but they are put on a pedestal and embraced, no matter how much harm comes through them. From the fulfillment of our lusts, to satisfying the ache to feel love. Perversion finds for us moments of pleasure, and for it, many do not understand how it comes to them and how they will participate or even with whom. Today it is more important to be sexually active than it is to sustain from sex. There's a constant feeding of emotions to stir up and fill the pools of desire. It's all vanity. And so to the darkness has been cast the love of and for God. From Deuteronomy 29, your children who follow you and later generations and foreigners who come from distant lands will see the calamities that have fallen on the land and the diseases which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be a burning waste of sulfur and salt, nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboiim, which the Lord overthrew in fierce anger. And all the nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to the land? Why this fierce burning anger? And the answer will be, it is because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. They went off and worshipped other gods and bowed down to them, gods they did not know, gods he had not given them. And therefore the Lord's anger burned against this land, so that he brought on it all the curses written in this book. And in furious anger and in great wrath, the Lord uprooted them from their land and thrust them into another land as it is now. The people of these cities carried out hideous acts of cruelty, and from this they had aroused God's anger, and he eventually destroyed them. He was just in his decision, as the sins of the people were so great and their perversions so wide and deep that its consumption of the people wouldn't stop, like the ripple in the pond. It just kept spreading out and consuming, blending and masking the landscape. And that's what's happened to us today. The perverted have sold their bill of goods to the individual. The family could not look away. Rather, through bonds, they embraced. And the community was put on the hook for acceptance, now engulfing more individuals. And the nation began to pass laws to protect and lift up what many within her positions of leadership were themselves involved in, and now able to find freedom from conscience as perversion swept over the nation and consumed the people. Throughout history, a nation that has so given itself over to this covering, it cannot stand the test of time. For within her is no will to fight evil. Rather, she embraces it. And with evil, it will feed off the weakness of the people, and breakdown after breakdown comes, as the laws once set and meant to protect no longer protect the people, but they now protect the actions done by them. And the difference is so great, and it carries with it life or death, and needless suffering, as those carried up in it can't be heard above the noise that's coming out of the chaos. The urgency of the day is to recognize, acknowledge, and to cry out to the Lord. Only by his hand will what has come upon us today be drawn back, and only by his hand will there be release from the spiritual prison that many have been cast into. The crimes committed today are as great and grievous as those that brought about the destruction of the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboiim. And when a nation forgets her God, her only recourse is to repent as a people. From Psalm 94, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. The cries of the dying, the wounded, and the broken, if you are listening, can be heard today. Life can yet be breathed into them, their wounds healed, their breaks mended. If they would but repent and turn to the Lord, that, Christian, is your purpose, to proclaim the name of Jesus. This world is dying and will one day be no more. Don't fear its demise, but fear the one who controls it, not a man or a group of men, but the God of the Bible. It was he who set the stars in the heavens, spoke, and it was, who gave to a world drowning in sin a Savior, who alone could deliver them from the evils of the world. His is the glory and the power. His the kingdom that will stand eternally, and to know him is to know life. He has promised to those who will come to him that one day there will be no more tears, no more pain or sorrow, a place where evil cannot enter and love will flow freely to all within her gates. This is heaven, and only those who have given their broken and soiled lives over to Christ will enter her gates. Those pursuing the pleasures of the day or promoting the perversions of the weak and the innocent, they will not enter. Cry out, Christian. Cry out for the Lord's hand to intervene. Cry out and intercede for the one who is so broken that they can't cry out for themselves. And tell them that there is hope, and his name is Jesus Christ.